How about a little Creedence Clearwater on Friday the 13th, huh? Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, along with my good friend and buddy, Big Ed Davis. We thank you for joining us today on this Friday the 13th in October. We will be talking in a few minutes with James Carafano of the Heritage Foundation, and we are going to talk about the Biden response to the conflict in Israel and whether or not the administration is appeasing Iran with the way that they are handling the situation. So stay tuned for that, just a few minutes. And Republicans are scrambling once again after Steve Scalise bows out of the race for Speaker of the House. Here's the question: who will be their nominee? We are going to take a look at the candidates and how long it's going to take. Stay tuned for that. And don't look now, but Ron DeSantis has somebody breathing down his neck for second place in the race to be behind Donald Trump for the Republican presidential nomination. We're going to tell you who it is in the show, so stay tuned for that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, with all that is going on in Israel today, we are going to give you the top 10 most dangerous terrorist groups towards the end of the show, so you want to stay tuned for that as well. By the way, Freedom Works is sponsored by Andrew's Master Barbershop. I keep telling you guys, the best place to go for the best haircut at the best price in Tampa Bay is in Dunedin at Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call first for your appointment, 727-733-3773. And ArborLife Tree Service. You got anything to do with trees on your property, call ArborLife. It's the best in Tampa Bay. Whether it's tree removal, tree enhancement, stump grinding, you name it. ArborLife Tree Service. Call for a free estimate, 727-330-1999. It's called the Day of Rage. Large protests breaking out in the Middle East as the Israeli-Hamas war escalates. Even here in this country, major cities will be having demonstrations. Apparently, the FBI said it is working with law enforcement across the country in response to a call by the leaders of Hamas for all Muslims to get together to join the battle against Israel and head to the streets and protest in support of Palestinians. We'll see how many people heed that request, but we do know that here in the United States, there will be people gathering both pro and anti, Israel around the country. And we hope that everything will remain safe and quiet. In the meantime, Israel is moving forward in the Gaza Strip and trying to oust Hamas. They have already declared they are going to get rid of Hamas, the terrorist group. And that brings us to whether or not the United States is going to allow that money that it was supposed to free for Iran to grab. The U.S. and Qatar have what's called a quiet agreement to block Iran from accessing the $6 billion that they were supposed to get in humanitarian aid because of the attack on Israel. Sources familiar with a meeting between the Deputy Treasury Secretary and House Democrats said that the Deputy Treasury Secretary says that he has an agreement with Qatar not to move any of the $6 billion in unfrozen money to Iran for an indefinite period. For some reason, the Biden administration does not want to talk much about it. But that sounds like a good thing. Remember, everybody was up in arms about the deal that we had with Iran. We had to hand over $6 billion and five prisoners that we had, Iranian prisoners, to get five Americans back. So we'll see where all of that goes. But it's going to be a very volatile day today. Lots of people are taking sides in this conflict. And you just don't know. You just don't know where all of this is going. In the meantime, who is going to be the candidate to replace Steve Scalise as the next Speaker of the House? House Republicans are once again left scrambling for a leader after Steve Scalise, who is currently the majority leader for the Republicans in the House. Scalise stepped back from being a nominee for the speakership. He stepped back last night. He had originally won a closed-door secret ballot, but he couldn't get to the 217 Republican votes that he needs to become the speaker. And he saw no path to getting the 217.
How many candidates were there?
I was just going to tell you who they are now.
Oh.
Yeah. Republicans could actually today begin voting on a new candidate. Here they are. The main ones are Jim Jordan of Ohio.
Uh-huh.
Okay. You know him. He is the head of the House Judiciary Committee. He's the guy, he's kind of an attack dog mm-hmm. on the whole Biden, money situation. Hunter Biden, Joe Biden. He was the only other formally declared candidate in the race for Speaker. He got 99 votes to Scalise's 113 when they were doing that closed-door session the other day. He had dozens more public endorsements than Scalise, and despite publicly backing Scalise after the vote, several members still said they would rather vote for Jordan. So I think he probably remains the most...
So there were two main candidates.
Well, there was, going into that meeting.
I pulled out my calculator. Hang on.
Yeah.
2 - 1... That would leave one my math is correct.
Your math is correct. However, there are others that are getting up all of a sudden.
I already turned them down, that still leaves Jordan, and that's it.
Hmm.
So,
well, then you're forgetting about a guy by the name of
what's the problem?
Tom Emmer. He's the majority whip, okay? He's from Minnesota, Republican. And Emmer currently holds the number 3 leadership spot within the House GOP. He's been floating a run for Speaker behind the scenes, even while publicly backing Steve Scalise. He's publicly said he was interested in the role, and he's been trying to position himself as the fallback candidate.
So out of the candidates on the left, which one, in your opinion, would give the Democrats the most problems and tick them off the most?
I think the guy that ticks them off the most is Jim Jordan.
Then that's your guy. Period. What else?
I know.
What else?
Well, let me just mention the other guy. The guy that's currently the speaker pro tempore. Okay? The temporary guy. His name is Patrick McHenry. Hey, what a name. Patrick McHenry.
Yeah. He's doing nothing on March 17th.
If you want to have a good political name, I think Patrick McHenry sounds pretty good. Anyway, he's a Republican from North Carolina. He is the chair of the House Financial Services Committee. He's serving as interim speaker right now. He's the guy that pulled that room out from under Nancy Pelosi.
Oh, well.
Remember that?
Maybe he is a good candidate then. You know?
He has distanced himself from the idea of running. But reports indicate some lawmakers are looking to extend his tenure.
I mean, if Nancy ripped up Donald Trump's speech, imagine what she'd do to him.
Yeah. So he'd be the only other one. So there you go. Those are the ones that are probably going to be in consideration. And we'll have to see where it goes. Let's take our break. When we come back, Jim Carafano will join us from the Heritage Foundation.
Is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want.
Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
We are back on a Friday the 13th and delighted to have back Jim Carafano. He is the Vice President of Foreign and Defense Policies at the Great Heritage Foundation. We're going to talk with Jim about the Biden administration and the way they are handling the whole situation with Iran in light of this horrible conflict in Israel. But Jim, before we get into that, I want to ask you about this current situation. Israel is warning Palestinians to evacuate Gaza as they go about trying to uproot Hamas. Is that whole scenario, it's going to be a mess trying to do this, especially with all of these I guess you could call them prisoners captured by Hamas. What do you think about all
right. So, first of all, that's standard practice for Israeli operations and has been for decades, that they do try to minimize the civilian casualties. One because that's what God demands, right? You're not supposed to deliberately target innocents in war. But the other is they know that Hamas likes human shields, they like civilian casualties because it's a propaganda. And so the Israelis really bend over backwards to show that they're really trying to minimize human suffering. Now, the Israelis pay a price for that, right? Obviously because they're telegraphing where they're going and when they're going there, and that means they're going to take more casualties. Particularly in urban warfare. I mean, anybody that's ever seen a movie and like watched Black Hawk Down or something knows that fighting in an urban environment is incredibly dangerous. You need a lot of people, you wind up taking very high casualties. Now, the scary thing about the hostages is this operation, by all accounts, has been planned for months, maybe years, which means that it's in all likelihood taking hostages are part of a plan, because the Hamas knows they're going to get pummeled, right? The goal here is to inflict as much punishment on Israel and as much humiliation on the United States as they possibly can, because that's what the world wants. Right? So the hostage taking was always part of the plan, which means that they also have a plan for securing them. And let's be honest. I mean, and I don't mean to be cruel. I'm just trying to be honest about this. This hostage taking is more like the Munich Olympics. There's probably no expectation that they care if the hostages live or die. And if there's an attempt to rescue them, the priority would be to kill them over ensuring that they're rescued. So you're going into an environment where they have no idea where they are. They have no way to practice. They have no way to plan for this. And they know that the number one goal is to try to keep them from getting at the hostages. So it really, for the hostages, as tragic it is for them and their families, this really, really is a nightmare scenario. They want to hang on to them as long as they can. They want to wring maximum punishment out of that. But we can't ignore that they might execute hostages and broadcast them on social media, that they might kill them if they're a rescue, or or they might just, you know, hold on to them forever. I mean, I think the long term plan here for this is all, we think, pretty much engineered by Iran. And what Iran, look, they know they're not going to destroy Israel, but what they want to do is weaken Israel, embarrass the U.S., and that sets the conditions for an Iranian nuclear breakout. Well, Biden's still in, before the end of Biden's term. And so a prolonged hostage works just like it did for Jimmy Carter. It hobbles, distracts, and weakens the U.S. administration. And I think the goal for Iran is, hey, let's break out when the U.S. is at its weakest. And whoever the next president is, whether it's Biden or some other Democrat or Republican, let them walk in the door with the reality that they have a declared nuclear power in the Middle East.
Yeah. Why do you think, Jim, that Iran and Hamas would do something like this, knowing what the consequences would be, especially on the heels of this prisoner exchange with the United States, and the fact that one would could argue that the Biden administration has gone very easy on Iran when it comes to their development of a possible nuclear weapon.
Right. Well, I mean, it's pretty easy because from Hamas's perspective, they are a surrogate of Iran, so pretty much they have to go along with the Iranians want. But they look at it from their perspective. They don't care about the Palestinians. If a bunch of Palestinians get killed, their response to that would be, well, that just helps us recruit the next generation of martyrs. And it doesn't matter how much destruction gets done. Eventually, look, money's going to flow back into the region. It's going to flow. It's going to flow through us and our fingers. So people, you know, the Palestinians might be poor, but we're going to be in good shape. So that's, I think, why they're willing to go along with it.
I mean, Hamas must realize that the Israelis would respond with overwhelming retaliation to what.
Oh, of course. They're planning on it, right? I mean, this is
they expect to die, all of these Hamas terrorists.
Yeah, I think they expect to take heavy casualties, but the goal here is to inflict maximum humiliation on Israel and the United States. That's the price of doing that. So yeah, I think that's all baked in the front end.
Wow.
I mean, look at what they're. Nobody's really focused on this, but let's look at how this is unfolding. For years, Hamas has been used to harass Israel. And so after the last major Israeli incursion, right, the Israelis said, well, we're not going to be stupid enough to drive into Gaza again, right? We're going to pull out of Gaza, and we're going to sit back, and we're going to protect our citizens, because that's what our citizens really care about. And so the Hamas response to that was to come up with this idea of, like, fielding these missile batteries, right? And so they're firing these masses of missiles to kill innocent Israelis, which of course the government can't tolerate. So what do? Rather than try to go back in and root them out on the ground, which is incredibly difficult, they come up with air defense, right? The Iron Dome and David's Arrow and other things. So they're shooting down the mass of the missiles. And what that does is it limits the ability of Hamas to drive escalation, right? Because they can shoot, but as long as Israelis can protect their citizens, they can decide when and where they want to escalate. So what do these guys do? They go old school, right? They go back to basically doing a low-tech ground offensive and killing people on the ground, knowing that, you know, Israel doesn't have an option. They're going to have to respond and go back in. And, of course, they will. And they really don't have an option. And this is exactly what Hamas wants.
Yeah. We're talking,
you know, just like, you know, Russia invades Ukraine. Ukrainians have to defend themselves. It's not like there's not an option there, right?
That's right. Yeah, we're talking with James Carafano. He is the Vice President of Foreign and Defense Policies at the Heritage Foundation. He has penned an opinion piece that you can find on the Fox News website. Yes, Biden calls out Hamas, but he's oddly silent on four major issues hiding in plain sight. Now, you wrote that a couple of days ago, or had it published a couple of days ago, Jim. Since then, Biden has come out. He seems to have mentioned the word Iran did indeed cross his lips, finally, when it came to this Israeli situation. And apparently, we are continuing to keep frozen those funds that were the $6 billion. What do you think now about how Biden is responding?
Well, look, I mean, you have to really watch this very closely, right? So Biden is not taking the initiative here. He is doing exactly the opposite. He's dragging his feet. So the only reason why they said, okay, we're going to freeze the $6 billion is because they got this absolute firestorm of criticism. It's like, oh, we got to do something. So they haven't withdrawn it. They haven't shut down relations with Iran. They haven't scolded Iran. They just, oh, we'll put a hold on the $6 billion. And the goal is, well, we just quiet people down. Right? So but this is the same thing they did in Ukraine. When the Russians invaded Ukraine, they said, hey, let's get the president on a plane and fly him out and let Ukraine fall. And it was only after the Ukrainians fought that, oh, okay, we got to stand and support them. So, you know, Biden is, this is what people have to understand, is Biden is the follower in chief. I mean, he is literally a bystander in history. And then when he doesn't have an option, he'll maybe do some good stuff. But of course, what this is doing is ceding the advantage to the enemy. So, you know, I'll give you, as a contrast, the last administration, when the Iranians started promoting terrorist attacks against U.S. forces in Iraq, the U.S. killed Soleimani, their principal organizer of their terrorist campaign, in Iraq, right in front of the Iranians. And they were like, okay, deal with that, my friend.
Yeah.
And actually, the Iranians came back, and this is funny, right, because through back channels, and they said, look, we're going to fire a bunch of missiles. Now, we're going to shoot them in the desert and not kill anything. And then we'll be able to say, okay, we responded for this. And then we're gonna go hide because we're scared. So please don't attack us anymore. Just let us shoot our missiles, and then we will quietly go away, and you win. That's how the last president.
Yeah. Wow. After everything finally settles down, and let's say, Israel is done with the invasion of Gaza and Hamas. Will they look towards Iran? And indeed, is there a chance that Israel will attack Iran and try to take out their entire missile situation?
Well, you know, I often tell people this is you know, when you're not winning the war you're on, you don't start new ones. Mm-hmm. So I think we kind of always get this with the Russians. Oh my God, the Russians aren't winning Ukraine. They're going to widen the war and attack NATO. I'm like, dude, they can't win the war they're fighting. So I think, and plus you have to remember, it's very likely that there's going to be an offensive in the north from Lebanon. So the Israelis have to fight the war they have.
They got other things to worry about. Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
And they'll worry about Iran later.
Well, that's what I'm thinking, though.
But this is the problem, right? Mm-hmm. This is what's really scary. Is the Iranians are thinking that the Israelis will be so tied up with Hamas and Hezbollah, and the United States will be distracted, that they will basically just step in one day and say, "Okay, we're a nuclear state," and Biden will be right in the middle of a national election. What's he going to do? Declare war on Iran? Do nothing. I mean, he'll put deer in the headlights to look just like Jimmy Carter in the Iran Hostage thing. And the Iranians will, when the next president, if Biden's reelected, or the next president comes in office, say, okay, we're a nuclear power. What are you going to do now? You're going to attack us and start World War III? Okay, good luck with that.
Yeah, what a mess. Jim, my colleague at Davis, I think, has a question for you.
Yeah, Jim, it's just amazing to me that we're sitting here and discussing and debating what Biden's going to do and what Biden's going to do here and there. And I saw a clip the other day, or actually it was yesterday, when Biden was at a press conference, he was at the table sitting.
Right.
And evidently he wrote something on the back of his cue card and
right.
exposed the other side to everybody else in the cameras. And it had on there written, actually typed out, 1, walk to podium. 2, read prompter. 3, take questions. 4, walk away from prompter. Now that's the instructions you give a 5-year-old going to the bus stop.
No, I mean,
now tell me what leader of some country is afraid of this guy making a decision.
Well, look, there's no question that he's mentally diminished. I mean, I don't think that's really up for debate, and I'm not a doctor, so people can debate the medical reason why, but there's no question that he doesn't have diminished mental faculties, and in many ways this is Obama's third term. Hey, if you actually look at what got us here, all they did was walk in office and go right back and do the same policies that Obama did in the Middle East that completely failed, that brought us ISIS and in Iran run wild, and then we just go right back to those policies with the same people running the policy.
Yeah.
So it really is Obama's third term, and this guy is really just a puppet.
One of the things, Jim, that you mentioned in your piece in Fox, in that opinion piece, is that the involvement of Russia with Hamas,
right.
The fact that we're ignoring all of that. Would you expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I think, and there's a debate about what the Russians and the Chinese are up to, but I think there's no question that the Russians are looking for more conflicts to distract and divide and people, and so they've been very big supporters of now 7 coups in Africa. The war in the Middle East they see as a distraction. So that's what they're in this for. I think some people say, well, this isn't good for the Chinese because the Chinese actually want to do business with the Israelis and everything, right? And they're not really very close to Hamas because Hamas actually supports the Uyghurs, which are a Muslim group in China. But the reality is, I think, look, the Chinese are just opportunists. They don't really have a strong foothold in the Middle East, and they really would like one. So their path to power in the Middle East is to sit on their hands and hope everybody gets fed up with the United States and they turn to China for hedging, including the Israelis. And so they're just going to sit back and wait for people to come to them. So, yeah, they have they're not losing sleep over this war.
Boy, I tell you what a mess it really is at this point. I want to thank you, Jim Carafano, for coming on and talking about all of this. Really appreciate it. Great to have you back on again here. And I look forward to a chat with you again down the road.
Sure, anytime. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Jim Carafano, the Heritage Foundation. All right.
You know, when you say it's a mess, I don't think we've seen anything yet.
Yeah.
You know, I hate to say so. I'm really worried about what's going on today with all the fact that our border has been open, still open in spots, where any one of those suckers can just walk right through.
I've never seen it as fragile and as dangerous worldwide as the situation is right
to
now.
To them, it's Israel number one. The United States are number two.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as revenge,
I'll tell you, we just, I think we a lot of prayer right now is being called for. All right, let's take our break. And when we come back, we got a lot of things to talk about. Among them, don't look now, Ron DeSantis, but you got somebody breathing down your neck for second place in that race for the Republican presidential nomination.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Our FreedomWorks radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Friday, the 13th of all things. Don't walk under any ladders. Don't let no stinking black cat walk in front of you. Let's see, what else is there? Oh, I guess there's a whole bunch of things. I've never had absolutely There's never been anything different for me in my entire life that I can think of on Friday the 13th.
Well, nowadays, I mean, recently, within 20 years or so, the Friday 13th has to do with the movie and the 25 sequels that came out after that. It was always Jason.
Yeah.
Kill, kill, kill.
There's all kinds of guys, crazed men, guys that put masks on and go running around.
Yeah, I'm kind of offended now that you said that.
What?
It's always men. Why isn't it a woman?
I know.
You know?
They should have a good woman, a crazed woman killer. Yeah. I think that could be even spookier.
How about redoing Psycho and have a guy in the shower taking a bath or whatever, and
a woman
with the knife.
Yeah. I agree. I think a woman monster like that would be even scarier than a man in some cases.
You wouldn't expect it.
Right, indeed. So, Nikki Haley is breathing down the neck of Ron DeSantis. There's a new Fox News national poll released this week. Now, Trump is at 59%. Ron DeSantis is at 13%. And Nikki Haley has jumped and doubled her support from 5 to 10%. So, now that, you know, DeSantis remains in second place, according to the survey. But Nikki Haley is making some progress. People seem to be...
But I wonder how many of those have jumped off the ship of, you know, the guys like Christie who's gone out to the CNN buffet. And other guys like that that have kind of fallen off the edge.
It'll be interesting to see how everybody reacts in Iowa and in New Hampshire, you know. We've got, by the way, the master barber himself, Andrew Sorese, joining us. And Andrew, with all of these things that are going on, we're still trying to get a Speaker of the House, the attack by Israel into Gaza Strip, the polls with the presidential situation. What's going on with you? What do you think?
Well, Paul, first of all, the $6 billion that they're freezing, I think they should give that to Israel. Let's see what Iran's really made of. Let's give that $6 billion to Israel.
Okay.
See what Iran is made of. I think Israel's being really good to the Palestinians, warning them.
Uh-huh.
I wouldn't warn them at all. I'm sorry, innocent or not. This is your people. Either you people take care of these people, or we're going to take care of all of you.
You heard what Hamas is doing. They're trying to force the Palestinians to stay in place.
Hey, you know what? There should be enough Palestinians to overpower them.
That's that simple, okay?
I mean, they created this mess, they're going to pay, whether you're innocent or not. Either you people take care of it, or we're taking care of it.
Do you think the Hamas terrorists really give a damn about Palestinians?
Well, listen, they are all raised to praise Allah and be happy when they die, since they're kids, right?
I guess.
Okay, well, what would the difference be? Hey, what would the difference be? Did you see these protests in Yemen today?
Yeah.
Tell us
about it. They're all over the place. Yeah, they're all over the place. Thousands and thousands and thousands of them.
Yeah, it's
all raising the Palestinian flags, swords, and guns.
Yeah, it's called.
If I was the Israelis, I got news for you. Boom.
Yeah, there's probably
right there.
Millions of them in the street. Obviously, there was no work that day or today.
Yeah, the day of rage. Yeah,
I'm looking
at the pictures
today,
here.
You call it today, Friday the 13th. Yeah. Now, I call it Jihadi the 13th because it's a global Jihadi day. I mean, let's all be prepared here. Because look at what's going on. Our country is sitting here putting up all kinds of security because of the Israelis and the Palestinians are going to go crazy over here.
Yeah.
You know what? If you're going to go crazy over here, we're going to ship you all back over there. We had it with you.
Have you ever seen such division in the world as we seem to have right now?
Well, there's always been division in the world. The haves and the have-nots. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's like I say, there's more than enough food to feed everybody in this world, but it's all the corrupt governments. Let's face the facts, including our own.
You know, there was a movie on last night that I was watching, and I think it came at a very appropriate time. Do you remember a movie with George Burns called Oh God?
Oh, yes, yeah. I do. Yeah.
And John Denver?
Mm-hmm.
And he comes down, he talks about how people should get along and, you know, that's the whole point of life and everything. And I was thinking, you know, we've lost that concept, haven't we, about just getting along, learning to love each other. And somehow, you know, with all of the religion, more people have died in the name of God than any other cause.
It's all religious wars, Paul.
Yeah.
people would rather fight for their religion than fight for food from starving.
Yeah. And kill
so
each other.
That one out.
And kill each other because you believe in God one way and I believe in God another way. Therefore, I need to wipe you out, you know?
And the religions tell you to wipe each other out, right?
Yeah.
From what I understand. So, and like I say, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, they need to take Palestine. You know the problem they're having getting rid of all the carbide or the carbon fans from these windmills? They have a problem because they don't decompose or anything else. They don't know where to put them.
You would ship all the windmills over to Palestine.
No, first I'd make it a parking lot. Then I'd send them all there.
I remember you saying something like that.
That's right.
Yeah.
There's no question in my mind. Enough is enough, but it's crap. There's no such thing as peace on this earth. We're not going to have it. The only way we're going to have it is to get rid of the ones that are causing all the trouble.
Yeah.
Period.
I guess. Organized religion, I don't know. Organized religion... You know, if you don't have the true God, if you have the true God on your side, you got to wipe out the one that doesn't have the true God on their side. That's the thing about the whole.
You know, people need to put their religion aside. Period.
Yeah, I think you're right about that too.
Period. Period. Put it aside.
Politics isn't far behind, though. You know.
No, it's not.
I mean, even take the Catholic religion. Let's face it, the Vatican has got more money than the United States of America.
Absolutely. I mean, think about the Crusades and all the people that died, you know, on both sides of that situation. I mean, all of the things, the persecutions that went on. People, you know, innocent people dying, supposedly because one way or the other they weren't on the right side of the belief in God. I wonder what God thinks about all of that. That's what I'm saying.
Paul, I got my own question.
Yes, we do.
But that's beside the point.
I know.
You know what else is amazing, Paul?
Yeah.
All these moron Democrats. Trump's going to get us in World War III. We had peace with Trump.
Yeah.
He made peace with leaders nobody ever talks to.
I'm thinking about the whole situation. First of all, in Russia, would they have invaded the Ukraine? That's number one. I'm wondering if Hamas would have even thought about going into this invasion of, you know, this attack on Israel if Trump had been in office. I mean, there's the scenario might be completely different right now.
None of this would have happened, believe me. And I'm telling you, wait and see. China's going to go into Taiwan. They're getting us, Paul. We're spread so thin and we have no money.
So you think they'll go in before the election? Is that what you're saying?
I say there's no question. The election, they could care less.
They want Biden
They have to do it while Biden is there. Because you got the moron in office. He's taking a nap. Nobody knows what's going on. And then he's got Obama advising him. I mean, what kind of combination can you have?
Ed, when we were talking with our guest, Jim Carafano, and you brought up that note that Biden had.
The cue card, yeah.
The cue card. Is that true?
No, absolutely.
I thought...
Yes.
No, absolutely. Actually,
Was that yesterday? When was it?
I saw it yesterday.
You did?
He was sitting at a table, and he turned his card around, and he held it up because he wrote something on the back of it.
Yeah.
And clearly the camera zooms in on it, and it says, one, walk to podium, two, read prompter, three, take questions, four, walk away from...
Wow. That's
hey,
really,
and you know what? That's not the first time.
No, I believe it's not the
it's
first
not
time.
It's not the first. It's been caught before.
God.
It's been caught before, Paul.
What a mess. So what do you think about this speakership situation?
Understand this. Listen, I don't understand why the House can't do anything without a speaker. Okay? You got a guy you're trying. Tell me what the big thing is about the speaker that they can't make those decisions. All they do is vote.
Kind of like the foreman.
They technically can do things. They've got a temporary speaker, this Patrick McHenry guy.
Why are they making a big deal?
Yeah. I don't know. That's a very good question. I guess the stability of having somebody permanent there, but they're afraid to do certain things because they don't have a permanent speaker right now.
Like I don't understand about the presidential election. What the hell is so important about Iowa and New Hampshire? How big of states are? What the hell is so important about those? I want to know. To me, they're not important at all.
It's their day in the sun. Those are two states that we don't normally think much about, right?
That's what I'm saying. I mean, what's the big deal, Iowa and New Hampshire? Come on.
I know. Well, because they're the first ones, they get the attention. You know, it's the first one to walk down the aisle in the Miss America beauty pageant.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. This is nothing but a show. We need to get down to business here. This country's falling apart.
Yeah.
The House can take care of business. They don't need to make no big deal about what's going on there. Okay, we got rid of a bum. That's fine.
Yeah.
That was the right thing to do. Let's get down to work here. We'll pick our speaker. Meanwhile, the world's falling apart. Well, you guys got to get a vote on a speaker. Who cares?
Yeah. No, I agree, but it would be nice to get the damn thing out of the way. The Republicans look like a bunch of cats going in different directions right now.
And as far as the presidential election between Ron and Nikki Haley, what are they fighting to see who comes up last? Who cares?
Who gets?
I came up before you last, all right? Let's be real.
No, they're fighting over the second place trophy.
That's about it.
I mean, give me a break. Listen, Trump, unless something happens to Trump, he's got it locked up. The people want him. It's that simple. And you know why? Because they know he'll take care of business.
Yeah.
They're fed up with what's going on.
Even if they ran as a team, it wouldn't add up to what Trump's got over them. The percentage points.
I mean, it's enough is enough of this. They shouldn't even have any more of their, what do they call them there? What they were doing on the stage.
The
debates shouldn't even have any more debates because they got nothing else to say.
Yeah,
we know what their stance are. We know what's going on, and you want to argue who's going to be second place? Go for the government.
Maybe they're running for vice president.
Yeah, it doesn't even matter. Trump already knows who he's going to pick. They could run all they want.
Who do you think he should pick?
Who do I think he should pick? Christy Noem.
Who? Yes, the governor.
Yeah, that's the one from, was it South Dakota?
You know why? If he goes for the other
the
one North there, what's
the
name?
Governor of
South Dakota.
Of South Dakota, yes.
Yeah, yeah, I mean,
well, she might be a good candidate. No, you're right.
She'd be a great candidate because she would get all the suburban housewives.
What about the black Republican Scott from Carolina?
No, we don't need another man.
Tim Scott.
We need a woman in there. Yeah. We got Trump. We got Trump as the fighter.
What about Nikki Haley?
He's kind of leveled off there,
Scott.
No,
I don't think Nikki Haley's got what is. Nikki Haley's part of the crowd.
Nikki Haley's been attacking Trump.
She's just angry. I mean, she hates everybody. I mean,
that's right.
Well, she's been some
inroads. Her husband. I hate being her husband.
Her husband's probably on permanent vacation.
Either that or he's a total liberal and he's a pacified guy and doesn't say nothing. We'll never know. But no, they ain't going nowhere. She's not going nowhere. She's got a dream. She can keep it.
How'd you like to see that walk through the door at night? No.
Oh, my God. But anyway, there's too much going on here right now. This is, and you know what? I'm surprised because it will happen here. And that's what this country needs. We are going to get hit here. It's just a question of when. You got 7 million that we know about, and 1 million they don't know nothing about.
You know what?
Their army is already here.
You know what, though, Andrew? If God forbid that happens, I don't think the country is going to unite. I think the country is going to play the blame game. It's this guy's. It's Trump's fault, of course, and then it'll be Biden's fault, which is probably the right course. But
I think it'll unite for a week. Because you see all the liberals, little liberals, running with their tails between their legs, wanting to be protected.
Yeah.
You will see that.
Well,
but I can tell you this, with this global jihadi going around in this country, I would not leave home without my little friends. Period. And that's one thing people remember. And you know what really surprised me is the gun laws they have in Israel. I didn't know this. But only 2% of the Israeli citizens own guns, and they're only allowed to have 50 rounds of ammunition. You know how fast 50 rounds go in a firefight?
Very quickly.
Okay, so what is Israel doing? They notice that they left their people open for harm with their gun laws.
Yeah, that actually surprises me. I would have thought the opposite.
Nope, I thought the opposite until I saw the facts.
Yeah.
I mean, that's ridiculous. If these people were armed in the houses they were breaking into, they might have been able to defend themselves.
Yeah.
But you got defenseless people.
Boy,
how can the Israelis be that stupid?
If I lived in Israel, I certainly would want to pack a gun, to be honest with you.
And you know, what tells me about Israel is they want to do the same thing there that they try to do to the people here. They want to make sure that the people can't turn on the government if they're armed.
Yeah.
That's all that's about.
Andrew, it is always a pleasure. I appreciate so much you calling in, my friend, and I look forward to talking with you again next week. We got so much to talk about.
You got it, buddy. Hopefully we won't get hit between now and then.
Oh, I hope not.
All right, my friend.
Have a wonderful weekend. All right, sir.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Andrew the Master Barber. Yeah, things are tough all over. Okay, let's take our final break. When we come back, among other things, we're going to give you the top 10 most dangerous terrorist groups.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA certified, and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arborlife Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arborlife Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
Our FreedomWorks radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Back for the final segment of Freedom Works. Thank you for being with us. By the way, we're here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Tan Talk Radio Network. If you cannot listen live, Big Ed puts all our shows on podcast. Just go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com. Click on the podcast button, and you'll see the shows, and away you go. O-U-R, ourfreedomworks.com. A little bit of good news. We've been talking about so many things that are making us depressed, but Social Security recipients are going to see a hike in their checks in 2024, 3.2% hike. It's not like what they had this past year where they got an 8.7% bump, but it's still better than a kick in the rear end, is it not? So that starts in January for Social Security recipients. So, Ed, before we get to our top 10, which I think is going to be an interesting one, what's going on sports-wise? We've got our Lightning playing, we've got our Bucks playing, we don't have our Rays playing. What's going on?
Lightning, I forgot who they're playing this weekend.
They're 1-0, right? They won their first game against Nashville. Yes. Okay. What about the Bucks?
The Bucks are at home. Was a 1 o'clock game. Got flexed to a 4:25 start.
Oh.
Home against the Detroit Lions.
Well, they want to highlight that game then. That's why they moved
it. It is also Creamsicle Week.
Of course it is.
The old orange uniforms are back.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Yes.
Yes, you always did. They did look like creamsicles.
You know, everybody loves that uniform now.
Wasn't that the uniforms they were wearing when they went 0-13 or something like that?
0-13. 0-26.
Oh, wow, that's right.
Yes.
The John McKay days.
Yes.
Yeah. My gosh. All right, it's time, Ed, for our top 10. And these are the top 10 most dangerous terrorist groups. I got this from WatchMojo.com. God knows what that's all about. But it says, for this list, you're looking at the fighting strength, past attacks, and the roles of these groups in broader conflicts, both locally and globally. So here you go. Number 10. Lashkar-e-Taiba. They plunged Mumbai into chaos in 2008. Explosions, all kinds of things. So that's an African group. Number 9, the Pakistani group Tariq-e-Taliban. I guess that is the Taliban. And they've been around for quite a while. All right, number 8, Al-Shabaab, this fundamentalist Islamic group based in Somalia, formed in the mid-2000s, roughly 7,000 to 9,000 members. All right, number seven. The FARC, the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia. In 2016, FARC signed a historic peace deal with the Colombian government and began disarming. But at the peak of their power, around 2007, this communist guerrilla movement numbered some 18,000 members. Number six, the LRA, the Lord's Resistance Army, the viral, founded by Joseph Kony in the late 80s, this rebel Christian cult has gone on to massacre and abduct thousands of people across Central and East Africa. Number five, they say the Ku Klux Klan, which is these days almost gone, but of course, back in the turn of the century, they were big, famous for their pointy hats, burning crosses, and unrepentant racism. Number four, the Taliban, and we know about them, fundamentalist Sunni movement supporting Sharia law. They emerged during the Afghan Civil War and held power from 1996 until the U.S. invasion in 2001, estimated to be between 35,000 to 60,000 strong. They're still around.
Remember, Biden calls it the Taliban.
The Taliban?
Taliban banana.
Yeah, that does sound kind of Caribbean, doesn't it? The Taliban. Number three, Boko Haram. Sounds like a rock group. Boko Haram made international headlines in 2014 when they kidnapped 276 schoolgirls from a school in Nigeria. All right. Number two, Al-Qaeda. That's another one that's still around. The name Al-Qaeda will forever be associated with the horrifying image of the Twin Towers falling on 9/11. Their multinational radical Islamist group active since 1988. All right, Ed, here we go. Do you have any idea what the number one terrorist group is?
Is it ISIS?
You know, you're right. That's exactly right. It's ISIS. You know what that stands for?
No.
The Islamic State of Iraq and Syria.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Iraq?
Yeah.
Really?
Iraq.
I think they need to update that.
With a Q, yeah.
Well, they need to update that.
Organized, well-funded, and well-armed ISIS, also known as ISIL, has torn through Syria and Iraq, killing thousands, displacing many, many more. And we've heard about them much too often. All right. Thanks so much for being with us. We will be back on Monday. Have a safe weekend. And remember, freedom works.
WDAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented